everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:30 p.m. Eastern on the 9th of July, 2020. And I think we may be on the path of doing shows that actually work again. And that's good. I want to just do a couple little quick experiments. I'm going to play to Emerge and Stay Him on dick.cc, and this is a German
entstehen.
So I'm not sure if that'll show up. I just wanted to play that, and I'm also going to play a clip here. I'm not sure if you'll be
lab tested clean foods and supplements for immune function long-term storage.
Anyway, I am just doing a couple little tests. Thank you for bearing with me. Wow, I've just been astonished again at the level of information that the Meyer material keeps producing over and over again. I don't have any words to describe it. It's a little bit beyond belief. Let me read a few things from page 30. And then we'll go over those. And then I also want to talk a little bit more about this electromagnetic energy that we've been talking about. And maybe we'll also have time to talk about the fire at the Library of Alexandria in Egypt. So let me start on page 30 in the Macht der Gedanken, the Might of Thoughts. In each case, the state of the psyche is thereby formed accordingly, which results in it reaching the highest of the constantly positive efforts with a thought, or crashing into the abyss as a result of negative thoughts and constantly reoccurring anxieties. The consciousness's mental circumstances and the might of the thoughts are the mean by which the psyche is influenced and steered. So I guess we can have thoughts which will crash us into the abyss. These are negative thoughts, and they often come from constantly reoccurring anxieties. I think we have a lot of those in our life. I need to take some more very detailed notes on this page. I can see that. A lot of work to do here. Constantly reoccurring anxieties. I know I can. And just think of little things in my life, not that they are massive anxieties, but I do have certain little anxieties about certain things that occur. And when a thought establishes itself in your consciousness, it can grow in power and might and power and might. So if you're having constantly recurring anxieties, and I think I do have some, then they can create real negative things. So let me continue here. Every thought which is formed in the consciousness or which enters it and establishes itself there develops into a tremendous might. So the key is the thought has to establish itself in your consciousness before it develops into this tremendous might. And I think we have a real habit of remembering, storing up anxieties, little things that, you know, that reoccur in our thoughts from time to time. And we usually, they will emerge or arise, accrue, they'll form in your thoughts, they'll crop up, they'll come into existence. We recognize them and then we steer away from those. Remember, I do not allow my thoughts to drift. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. So you strengthen the good thoughts that come up. The reoccurring anxieties, you just need to disregard those immediately and move right on. Don't let it establish itself there. Once a thought has emerged, it continues and reproduces itself. So, okay, if the thought is established in your consciousness, then it can produce a tremendous might. It can reproduce itself. It can control everything. And sooner or later, an action or quality and so forth will correspond to it. So it continues, it reproduces itself, and an action will result, or a quality. In this way, every thought generates its own successes from opportunities, wishes, self-influencing, and chances, and so forth. And in fact, each according to its kind, whether the thoughts are simply good and healthy, and consequently bring good and healthy results. And that's the key. We want good and healthy thoughts to bring good and healthy results. One of the things that I think I'm wrapping my mind around, and I'm considering it and thinking about it more and more, is this whole thing about system and order and trying to do things at the same time and keep this really consistent schedule in your life. And I think it somehow makes it easier, that pattern, that schedule, that establishment, that repeating things at the same time, it makes it much easier for you to have thoughts that are good and healthy. If you have a schedule, you know, if you stay up late at night and you know you shouldn't, you're getting tired, and you wake up the next day and you're tired and you're not thinking clearly, that can lead to bad circumstances because you got these bad thoughts flowing through your mind because you're kind of off your game a little bit. And the more you establish pattern and repetition in your life, although in some ways it seems dull or repetitive, I think it ingrains good habits, which in turn help you with your thoughts. And it helps you to have these emerging and developing thoughts which are healthy. Anyway, this is my theory. I have not been able to actually get a hold of what I think it's in the Geissus layer, the system in order. I do have some important, very good, important summary that's up on the Future of Mankind site. So anyway, these are just some of my theories and kind of observations anyway. Thoughts are simply good and healthy and consequently bring good and healthy results. Or whether they are ungood and are bad and consequently bring results which are ungood and bad. Results which you can simply access as negative or positive. Thoughts emerge not only from inner stimuli, rather they also form themselves in the consciousness as a result of external perception, as a result of the external world of circumstances, as a result of which the inner world of thoughts come about. That's interesting. I can think of a few little things that have happened in my life in the past 2 or 3 days that definitely did stimulate some thought in me. And I think it's good because I think we need to be good observers of when things happen. And life can teach us things that way. And just as the thoughts which emerge from inside can be negative or positive, good or bad, or pleasant or unpleasant, so it is also with the world of thoughts, which are produced through the perception of the world of external circumstances. Therefore, thoughts come into being in the inside, as well as thoughts which arise because of external influences and external circumstances are factors which are among the human being's greatest individual possession. Namely, as a result of the thoughts which contain power and might in themselves, he or she is able to master or destroy his or her life. That's a big statement. So the goal is to master your life, of course, right? We don't want to destroy our life. Nobody wants to do that. But if a negative thought establishes itself in your consciousness and it reproduces itself and you cannot pull yourself away from that, it'll bring bad results. So what you want to, you want to think of it like, and what it says here, I am the master of my learning. I am the master of the might of my thoughts and the effects which arise from them. I'm the master of my own destiny. I'm the forger of my own fortune. I'm the creator of my own good luck. Whether the thoughts are negative or neutral, positive, equalized, they always generate an effect which corresponds to them. And as a result, the human being always hauls in the return which he slash she draws as a gain out of her thinking or his thinking. Pain, suffering, grievances, burdening, vexation, worry, melancholy, affliction, tribulation, misfortune, strain, and distress, and so forth, or joy, happiness, peace, harmony, well-being, pleasure, bliss, freedom from pain, gaiety, cheerfulness, liberation, elation, and love. If the human being follows his slash her inner thoughts, hopes, desires, and wishes, then he or she gives his or her own domination free rein, and thereby ultimately reaches their fulfillment, and indeed in the external conditions of life as well as in his or her inner, in his or her psyche, morality, character, entire personality. This corresponds to the law of growth of the progress and to the law of the adaptation of all things to each other. Two laws which have their validity everywhere. Well, those are two laws I would like to also study in more detail. I need to revisit this whole, that was one page in The Might of Thoughts. And that's typically the way things go when you read this book. You'll read one page. It'll take you 15 minutes to get through it, probably, if you really like contemplate what it's saying and don't just read as fast as you can. It could take you 15 minutes to get through one page. Now, I have read pages in as little as 5 minutes, but this is one of those pages that you could spend days and days on. I do have, I believe, some notes on this page from the last time I went through it. And we started really on page 28, but I'll go into page 30, cover a little bit of that, jump back to page 28, and then I want to get into these other contact reports. And even if we have a little time at the end, I'll talk about the New World Order and what I think is happening in the world. Page 30, every thought which is formed in the consciousness or which enters it and establishes itself there, and that's the key, it has to establish itself, develops into a tremendous might, which is able to control everything. So if you bring in a thought, so it's formed in your consciousness, and it's negative, and it's fearful, and it's anxiety, and it establishes itself there, it could develop into a tremendous might, which is able to control your whole life, which is obviously a bad thing. So you have to do your own inner self-cognition. Once a thought has emerged, it continues and reproduces itself. So one thought of fear and anxiety can lead to 2, which can lead to 4, and then maybe 8, 16. Maybe it grows exponentially. I don't know. Once a thought has emerged, it continues and reproduces itself in order to create from it sooner or later an action. So if you have enough thoughts of a specific kind in your mind, they will create an action. Or a quality, Billy says. Maybe it changes your character. And you have this quality that comes from fear and anxiety, which would be a bad quality, I would probably think. And this reminds me of our passage that says, tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and cause them to go from one extreme to another, which creates a misdirection of the thoughts, which can lead to murder and manslaughter. There is no room for rationality in these basically wrong ideational thoughts, for only irrationality lives there in highly emotional forms. So entangled ideas confuse the thoughts and cause them to go from one extreme to another, which triggers emotions that can lead to murder and manslaughter. So anyway, these thoughts that Billy has in this passage he wrote, they're undoubtedly reproducing themselves and developing into a tremendous might, and they create an action, which in this case could be murder and manslaughter. So anyway, this teaches us the tremendous power of our own thoughts, which can be tremendously good or tremendously bad. Namely, as a result of the thoughts which contain power and might within themselves, he or she is able to master or destroy his life. So, if your thoughts were tangled and confused, and they caused a misdirection of your thoughts, which can lead them to the thoughts going from one extreme to another, which then triggers emotions that lead to murder and manslaughter. So you've just destroyed your life. You've become a murderer. You know, you may be really mad at this person. They may have done horrible things to you. But if you turn into a murderer, then you've destroyed your own life. Let's look again at this little section that we've been studying on page 30. The thought establishes itself in the consciousness. Establish means to set up an organization, a system, a set of rules on a firm, permanent basis. Establish means to introduce and cause to grow and multiply. So these are some of the concepts that are brought about with the word establishment. So this thought establishes itself in your consciousness, and it develops into this tremendous might, which is able to control everything. So you're furious. You can't stop thinking about what this person did to you. You're so angry. And this thought then reproduces itself into other thoughts and other horrible thoughts and bad thoughts. And pretty soon, an action comes out. And this action can be murder or manslaughter. So maybe the first step to untangle this mass is to identify when you have tangled ideas. And if your emotions are flaring, that's almost a guarantee that you've got some tangled ideas in there. When tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and cause them to go from one extreme to another, which creates a misdirection of the thoughts and triggers emotions that can lead to murder and manslaughter. Such an important thing to think about. Thoughts emerge from inner stimuli. So you were thinking about something that this person did to you. That's an inner stimulus. You're thinking about something in the past or whatever. Or you just saw something happen. Maybe you saw a person happen. abuse a child or abuse a small animal, and this was something you perceived externally, and this just you just became very angry about this. So this would be an external perception. Now, on the other hand, thoughts can generate successes. So you can master your life with your thoughts, or you can destroy it. Some German words that seem to play a role here: geprägt, means to form shape, stamped, embossed. Gewaltigenmacht means tremendous power. That is page 30. I got a feeling there's a whole lot more in there, but maybe we'll leave that for another day. And we'll jump over to the electromagnetic life energy, which we've been talking about for a few days, I believe. And this comes to us from Contact Report 216. And we started out discussing acupuncture. But in principle, acupuncture is very much more than just a medicine, because its ultimate goal isn't just the healing of an illness. So a lot of our Western medicine is we're just going to deal with this symptom. You know, if you got a headache, take an aspirin. That will numb the headache. Well, that doesn't go in to find out what's really causing this headache. Is it stress? Is it anger? Is it something that you've eaten? Is it an environment that you're in? We just blanketly cover up the symptom or negate the symptom without finding what the underlying cause is. Now, acupuncture is more about maintaining the body's energy channels, and this keeps us healthier in the big picture. So let's continue here. Acupuncture, it's very much more than just medicine, because its ultimate goal isn't just the healing of an illness and sufferings or of any trivial discomforts of any kind, but primarily to make the entire body, as well as the consciousness and the psyche, healthy, and basically to allow no sufferings, discomforts, or illness to arise at all. So in other words, make your body healthy, then you won't have any sufferings. You know, rather than take a pill and numb yourself, which is kind of our way of doing things today in medicine. But this means that one's life energy can flow and work properly in the body. Remember, the energy comes in a flux from the universe, and I believe it enters into all these points on our body, and it comes in through the surface. And it enters into these energy channels in our body, these places where the energy flows. So let me continue. The cosmic electromagnetic life energy is the creation-given energy, and is in fact also the actual existing energy of creation, which is also called energy. Okay, again, the prefix, which means ancient in the German. So this is ancient. And which is also given in all life forms, as well as in every spirit form of a conscious or instinct conscious form. So as human beings, our spirit form is conscious, or our spirit form technically is not conscious completely right now at our current level of evolution. But our consciousness is, we have the ability to have consciousness, whether an animal is more instinct consciousness. We can evolve our consciousness. Kind of tripped over that little sentence there a little bit. This life energy, which we refer to in our language, the Pleiaren, by the specific designation of Qing, is a constant flux from the universe. So I believe what that's saying is this is a constant energy coming down from the universe. It's kind of like laying out in the sun. You can feel that energy just permeate your body and it feels so good. But if you stay out there too long, of course, you can fry yourself. So little times, I believe, in the sun, you know, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes here and there, can have very restorative effects, very helpful on you, even when it's this hot, when I think it's like 90 degrees out there. So anyway, in a constant flux from the universe, that through the energy lines, energy channels, which we designate as sananta, and thus through conductive channels, flow through the body of each life form, so is also in humans. The Chinese designation for these forms represent their own formulations from the Chinese language, and therefore have nothing in common with the ancient traditional terms that trace back to Henoch, Henoch's language. Henoch is one of the seven, I think one of the seven prophets. We say sometimes Enoch, which I don't think is the correct pronunciation. The life energy of an electromagnetic and cosmic nature, which we also call active energy, flows similar to flowing waters. So if you're a human being or an animal, you have energy channels in your body. The energy comes down from the universe and I believe goes into the surface areas of the body. And it's called active energy. It flows a lot like water through these energy channels. Through a form of certain energy channels through the entire body of every single life form, and indeed no matter what genus and species. So maybe that's true even for plants. Maybe that's the same active energy flowing through plants. Now with rocks and sand and metals, it's a passive energy that comes through them, but still an energy, and these things are considered alive, meaning that things like rocks actually have a passive energy and a life. So humans, as well as animals, fish, insects, birds, and plants, and even microbes, bacilli, and viruses, which mean that actually every life form possesses them. So we have these energy channels, even plants do, and that was my question answered, fish, even insects. This energy flow, the all-animating cosmic electromagnetic life energy, creates the difference between the effective living and the non-living. So between what is moving and what is non-moving. So life that's non-moving is a different category. But in the case of the non-moving, there can be no talk of dying out or of totem. I need to look that word up, like a totem pole. As the earth person erroneously designates this, for even the non-living, i.e. what is non-moving, is existent, as for example, rocks, stone, sand, and metal, etc. These things that are also life forms, and that we designate as passive life forms, in contrast to active life forms. So I believe that rock, stone, sand, metal, etc. are passive life forms, passive life forms. And they do not exist through the same form of cosmic electromagnetic life energy, through which all moving life is begotten, born, and animated, and also passes again in order to change itself into other forms. These passive life forms actually exist through a passive energy, which must be logically designated as passive cosmic electromagnetic energy. Wow, where did that half of an hour go? I have no idea. It just went. Well, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and have a great day. Use the things we studied in the Mind of Thoughts and things we studied here in Contact 216 for the remainder of your day. They should help you out. Thanks. We'll talk to you again soon.